Continuing the study in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 10 today. Continue to pass through the judgments and the times that are coming. Revelation chapter 10. We will read down through the seventh verse. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which therein are, that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall sound, begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I just ask that you will guide and lead us as we look through these precious verses. As we find ourselves page by page through this book, the book of Revelation, we find your hand of judgment as it just continues to bring justice and judgment against the wicked. You have given us such a wonderful opportunity of salvation. All we need to do is come to the cross of Calvary and believe that you have died on that cross for us. And by that death, you have taken away our sin. And by your resurrection, you have given us life, a life to enjoy, a life to praise you in, a life to serve you in. So please, dear Lord, don't let anyone hear, nor anyone that would hear this message, not know you as their Savior. Not let them reject this word, this gift of salvation. We desire that no one would have to go through this awful time. And yet we know, according to your word, that multitudes will. So please now just guide and lead us as we go through these verses and look at them and study them and learn them. Just speak to our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This 10th chapter begins with, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. This is no ordinary angel. There are six specific things in this first verse that will clarify who we're looking at, identify who we're looking at. And as we look at the first verse, you find that he is first the mighty angel. Next, we found that this mighty angel came down from heaven. Next, we find that this angel is clothed with a cloud. Next, as you go down through this first verse, you'll find that he had a rainbow was about his head, and he had the face, the angel had a face as the sun. It shined that bright. Next, we find that his feet were pillars of fire. And part of the second verse here, we find that not only do we have this description, but we also find that he holds in his hand a little book. And upon holding this book is open now. And he stands with one foot on the land and the other foot upon the sea. And we find as this power and this strength, as we see this, we see his power and his authority. There are seven factors that tell us about this angel. And I believe this angel to be, once again, the Lord Jesus. Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We find him in Revelation 5, 5 through 7, is the only one that was worthy to open the book. And let's just turn back. We're going to be referring back to that fifth chapter of Revelation quite often today. Revelation chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. This is where that John wept because there seemed to be no one to open this book. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came, and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." And we know this to be the Lord Jesus. And so the one that was worthy to open the book now holds the book open. In the Old Testament, Jesus is referred to as Jehovah's angel or the angel of the Lord. But here in Revelation, we find that he is referred to as the Lamb, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as the warrior, and now as the mighty angel. Once again, that first verse, "And I saw another mighty angel clothed with a cloud." The book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 3, says that the clouds are the dust of his feet. In Acts chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, we find that Jesus was taken up in a cloud when he ascended. We find that in Exodus 19, 9, that Jesus came down on Mount Sinai in the midst of a thick cloud. We know in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, that Israel was delivered from the hand of Pharaoh when the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud. We find that the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Cloud covered the tent of the congregation. Exodus 40, verse 34. The psalmist said, "Clouds and darkness are round about him." Psalms 97, 2. Last but not least, we find Revelation 1, 7. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." This garment of clouds that we find that covers him, lifts him up, moves him, it seems that we find it most often tells us of his greatness and his majesty. Yet we find in the 10th verse, the 10th chapter here, verse 1, he comes near to earth to offer mercy to those that still reside. The mighty angel will have the rainbow. And these words here are not words to be lightly looked upon, because we need to see our God and see his power and his majesty and his strength. And so when we look at the rainbow, the symbol of the rainbow always through the Word of God means mercy. And we think, first of all, when Noah got off of the boat and a promise was made unto him that never will God destroy this earth by water again. And he has the rainbow. It always means mercy. And so we find it mentioned four times in the Word of God, but it always is a sign of God's mercy. The Lord Jesus is about to speak to the citizens that are left upon the earth. Don't forget the 2 billion that were just slaughtered in the last judgment. As they look upon him, they find his face was as it were the sun. We remember when Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, that the heavens opened up and the brightness of, I believe, the Lord Jesus shone down upon him was so bright that he could not look upon it and it blinded him. And this same light is shown here. His face as the sun. Revelation 1:16, Jesus' countenance as the sun shining in his full strength. Jesus is the sun of righteousness as we look at the word. Next, we will look at the pillar and his feet as pillars of fire. Revelation 1:15, and his feet like unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace. So we have these pillars of fire. So let's kind of step back up just a little bit here. And it's, look, clothed with a cloud. Rainbow was about his head. His face shone like the sun. And now his feet as pillars of fire. Can we get just a little look at our Lord as he comes to earth? And brings one more hand of judgment. He holds in his hand a little book. This book is open. This is the same book again that John wept over back in Revelation 5:4, because no one could open it. But this same book, there was found to open it, and it was the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus, Revelation 5:5. Here it is held open, and he stands with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. Can you see that? Can you get a picture of our mighty God? Can you see that? Clothed with a cloud, rainbow about his head, his face shines as the sun, feet and legs as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book, and it was opened. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. This coming to land and to sea, it's believed, speaks of the possession. Jesus is the rightful owner, and he intends to come back and possess what is his. You know, today, the devil, the god of this world, is the prince and power of the air. When Adam yielded to him in the garden, the land and the sea went under the control of the Lord's enemy, the devil. And it's been that way for 6,000 years. But we need to praise our God that will soon come to an end. And if you'll turn to me to Romans chapter 8, we'll see what Paul has to say. What the Lord has directed him to write. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 23. the time will come that he will take back over what is his. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creature groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. There will be a day when all will be returned to the Lord. What a joy it will be when we know Jesus as our Savior, when we walk with Him and we serve Him and we can praise Him, we can be in His presence. What a glorious day that'll be. And all can come if you just know Jesus as your Savior. As God stands upon land and sea, all the world, seeing these two pillars of fire, we'll know without a doubt that the end is near. The third verse tells us that from there cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. This cry, this roar as a lion, is not something out of fear, but it is much like when a lion roars, announces that he is about to kill, to destroy his prey. That's the roar. That's the roar that's coming from the heavens, from the voice of the one that is clothed with the cloud, rainbow about his head, face as it were the sun, and feet as pillars of fire, with one foot on the land and one on the sea, and the voice comes forth. Victory. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The world will hear and will know they're coming to an end. Joel chapter 3, verse 16 says, "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake." In Revelation 1:15, his voice is the sound of many waters, but here his voice is as a roaring lion. Turn back with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 25. You see, the word of God is clear about what's to come. It's not just in the book of Revelation. Jeremiah chapter 25, beginning with verse 29. Jeremiah 25, 29. "For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city, which I called by my name, and should ye be utterly unpunished? Ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, The Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation, and shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath con- controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. What we have read from here in Jeremiah will be finished in Revelation 14. But it's to come. We look once again. Cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. The thunder is the voice of the Lord in judgment. Seven, of course, we know is completeness. In Revelation chapter 4, John saw upon the throne one that was to look upon as jasper and sardis stone. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunder. It tells of a message of God's fury and judgment that's to come. Do you remember back in Revelation 8? Jesus throws to the earth his fire-filled censer. And as it fell to the earth, there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes. Seven thunders had voices that can be heard and that can be understood. We have already had blood and tears, famine and killing, much misery upon the earth. We've had hail and fire. We've had burning mountains. We've had demon locusts. We have men begging to die and can't. And then we have a third of the population slaughtered. What can come next? What will come next? I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things. You see, John was about to write what he was hearing and what he was seeing. And a voice from heaven said, no, not yet. Not yet. What is to come is more awful than's come. And so he said, not yet. Not now. When the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Please close them right now. Please close them. This world today tells of the great love of God, which is greatest of all. But they fail to tell the rest of the story. They fail to tell that if you are, as Nicodemus, a very religious man, well studied, or as the woman of Samaria, unlearned and very worldly. Both ends, both different sides need Jesus. They've got to come by faith to Jesus. And the devil found out that it's much easier to deceive someone, to get them to be religious, but not born again. Not born again. And most of the world, when Jesus comes and the trump sounds and we meet him in the air, most of the world will remain and go into this terrible time, this 7 years of tribulation. As judgment continues to pour out, the preachers of today do not tell of the judgment that's coming. This is just what's going to happen here on earth. This is nothing compared to the lake of fire. This is 7 years long. 3.5 years long, actually, is the worst of the judgments. 3.5 years. And they plead with God to kill them. They do not plead for repentance. Because, you see, they have turned away from Jesus one too many times. We all have family. We all have folks we know and love. And none of us know the day that it's going to be their last day and their last breath. But we have much work to do. I don't want anyone to see this. Are we going to let them just be religious, knowing that they don't believe in salvation, they don't trust in the Lord? Are we going to speak to them? And if we've spoken and they don't want to hear it, then are we faithful to pray for them? Pray every day that some way and somehow they would hear the truth and receive it. And please, dear Lord, if my voice can speak to them, fine. If my voice can't, then send someone else. Send someone else. Many times, all that can be done is to pray. We think when we're doing something, it's greater. No. When we do something, it should have already been bathed with prayer. And we should be praying continually for those lost family members, and lost friends that we know. There are a lot of religious folks out there. There's a lot of good folks out there under the world standards. We don't want them to go through this time. We don't want them to see this. That list that we went through, the blood, the tears, the famine, the killing, the misery, the hail, the fire, the burning mountains, the demon locusts, and the men begged to die. And then a third of the population is put to death. And that's nothing compared to the lake of fire. That's eternity. Is this real? You bet it is. Is it going to come to pass? Yes, it will. Let's be prayer warriors. Let's be servants to the Most High God. Speak His words. Pray for those that don't want to listen. Pray for those that do. Let's close in prayer. Father, we've come today with a message that you have in your precious book. We just speak the words. We just need to realize and recognize that in order for you to be God, you have to be a just God. You have to be right. You can't take a look at someone that they did so many good works here upon this earth, and they went to church all the time, and they were baptized, and they gave 20% to the church. And God, you can let that person in. No, that's just their works. Too bad that person had not got saved and did the same lovingly and with joy in their hearts, because there would have been a great reward and a great blessing for them. But instead of that, there will be judgment because they have rejected Jesus and His precious blood. Please, all that hear this message today, I just ask that you touch their hearts. Show them the truth. Show them what's to come. Show them they're a sinner and that they need a Savior, and you are that Savior, Lord Jesus. and that they've trusted in you today. Stir our hearts, dear Lord, please. I pray this in Jesus' name.